We're all certainly familiar with this passage. What always jumps out at me is the interaction between our Lord and his mother. There's so few words that pass between them. She tells them they have no wine. She didn't explain. She didn't say what she wanted. Would you do something about this? She just made that statement, and she knew him so well that she just said to the waiters, do whatever he tells you. Parents are like that, or can be like that in any case. They know each one of their children. I mean, after all, they've been with them since they were infants. And they recognize things. I remember when I was appointed novice master, I had been up up to the Bay Area. I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and I was up here for a retreat for myself. And when I went to, I was going to visit my mother first, and she said, oh, your provincial called. We want you to call him. So I waited until after dinner. I didn't want to talk to him right away because I had a hunch. I knew what he wanted. And I talked to him, and I was very much involved in what I was doing, and so it was difficult to consider having to leave before I was finished. I was a prior in Los Angeles, and technically I could have said no, because priors are elected, and so it's more difficult for the provincial to remove a prior from where he is. So I talked to him, and he said, well, why don't you come over tomorrow? We'll have lunch, and we'll talk further. And I said, well, okay. So I went downstairs, and my mother was washing dishes. And she said, well, how'd it go? And I said, oh, he wants me to be novice master. And I don't know. And she, of course, as I look back at it now, was thrilled, because it meant I'd be living back up in the Bay Area. But she didn't say anything. She just kept washing dishes and smiled and listened. All she did was listen. And she knew that I would probably do it anyway, that I would say yes to it. The next morning I went to see the provincial, and he took me out for pizza, and I was able to choose what kind of pizza I wanted. And that's the way to get to a man's heart anyway, you know. So I said yes, and that was it. But that's the way it is with parents. They know their children if they've been with them all those years, you know. And so there was this understanding between Our Lady and our Lord that has never left. She actually kind of pushed the envelope a bit by kind of forcing him into beginning his public life that very night. He told her that his hour had not yet come, but now it had, or the beginning of it anyway. And that's the other thing. This is a joyful experience. This is going to a wedding and everyone enjoying themselves. And he has to start talking about his hour in the middle of it all. But the fact is, his hour is the middle of it all and is always the middle of it all. Good Friday is the center of everything. It is at Good Friday that he gave us the opportunity to join him in his divinity, to the extent that he has joined us in our humanity. We tend not to really think about that much. His passion was extreme. There was no nook and cranny of human existence that he didn't touch, that he didn't experience. I mean, not just physical pain, but mental anguish, loneliness, all those things experienced during the Passion. But on the other hand, as a result of that, we think of when we die, we want to go to heaven. But it's this vague kind of thing. He is making it possible for us to know him as he knows us, to join him in his divinity. That's what heaven is for us. It's like nothing we have ever experienced. God alone will know himself as he, we'll never know him as he knows himself, but we will know him as he knows us. Think of how much he knows. Think of how much he knows as God, and we will know that. We can't imagine what that would be like. I mean, heaven really is heaven. So as difficult as the passion is, and there again, the good reason for us to have a fuller appreciation of the pain he endured. I remember, I knew that the crucifixion was painful. I didn't realize that the most difficult, he told our Lord, appeared to St. Bernard and told him that the most difficult part of the passion for him was carrying the cross. Because he was so beaten down before that, he lost so much blood and was so weak. James Caviezel, the actor, when he portrayed our Lord in the movie, The Passion of Christ, dislocated his shoulder by carrying the cross. They couldn't use a light cross because it would have shown. It had to be heavy, and that's what our Lord experienced. And then falling down multiple times on the ground, the Shroud of Turin shows that the man who carried it fell down many times with the cross on top of him. That's pretty bad. And the scourging itself was not just being whipped with cords. That was the first time around. The second time around was cords with knobs at the end of them, blunt knobs, either made out of bone or steel, and they were blunt. You know, they're very, very painful. There were several of them. They'd hit him with. And then finally, the one with sharp hooks that tore pieces of flesh off. And he was bathed in blood. We see the crucifixes where there's a little bit of blood here and there, but he was blood all over, you know. That's how far he went to be human, to redeem us. On the other side, we will be shining like stars. I mean, I use that as an expression. It's far better than that. In heaven. That's what each one of us is designed for, because God is pure love and infinite love. There is no limit to how much he loves. And that's who we are. We're the beneficiaries of that. So it is appropriate on our way to him that we carry our crosses, that we share his cross. You know, they're so inconvenient. And we find ourselves wishing, if it only could be this other way, you know. But the cross has got to be there to prepare us for heaven. We have to accept the fullness of humanity as he did, being human, in order to share in his divinity. Now that sounds like an awful lot to get from a wedding. But after all, we're talking about the Lord. And the fact that he was there and he showed charity to this young couple who had been embarrassed because there'd be no wine. But it was our Blessed Mother that picked up on it and then asked him, which again shows us the power of intercessory prayer, especially her intercessory prayer. All this happened there and that day. And this is ours. This knowledge is ours. We know this because we believe. We're here today. We're a part of this already. We're Christians. We've accepted him. We've embraced him. We've been washed clean with the waters of baptism. And so, with his help, we carry the crosses that he asks us to carry. Because he is so worth it. Because he is who he is. And the more we become aware of how much he loves us, the more we become aware of how good he is. And the more aware we are of how good he is, the more we love him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.